Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, April the 12th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on page 50, the first paragraph at the top of that page. Instead, we looked at the human defects and just that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Pam M., the 12 Traditions, Joanne L., and readers of the text are Laura R., Shelley E., and Mary B. The share ID for yesterday's Sunday special edition is 16,745. That's 16745, and for Monday, April the 12th, this early meeting at 7 a.m., it's 16,748. That's 16748. And our newcomer greeter is, we'll say Mary B. for now, and announcements person is Leslie M. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, I keep losing my place, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 Steps. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. Blessed morning, everyone. I'm Pam M. in upstate New York, and this is the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous and my toddler's voice in the background. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to remove, to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
And thank you, Pam M. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought never to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. Our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 11, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, in other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 50 in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on paragraph 1 at the top of the page. Instead, we looked at the human defects of character. And I will now ask Laura R. to get us started. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. My name's Laura. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes used their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We missed the reality and the beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. I've been sitting here this morning just kind of looking at this paragraph and blown away at how deep and wide this program goes. I remember when I first came into recovery, they just said, sit down, strap it, put on your seatbelt because you're going to go for an amazing ride, crazy ride, actually. And it's been a journey, of trying to understand how to get rid of this selfishness. And that's why I looked at you and pointed the finger instead of looking at me. You know, why would I look at your defects? Why am I looking at your shortcomings? Why am I so prejudiced? Because really, what I learned in step 1 is that I'm dealing with a 3-part illness, which is mind, body, spirit. And that spirit, that unmanageability, that spiritual malady, that's what drives the mental obsession, which drives the allergy, but that's what makes me judge you. I feel bad about myself. I'm going to judge you. I judged everything. You know, I had zero reality. My perception of the world was so skewed until I came into this program. And it has taken years to, you know, wash my head. Like, some brainwashing, heck yeah, my brain needed to be washed. You know, it needed to be completely rearranged. And it took time. So I'm just kind of blown away because today what we've been given on page 129, it talks about how we have tapped into a limitless load of just amazing, like it's deep and wide, and God's gifts and blessings are so there. It's just so you just can't even like fathom how big and amazing this program and what it can happen for me if I continue to work this program. But I don't want to, I'm not making any sense today. I'm just kind of like blown away because I used to be the person that just kept pointing the finger at you. And today, because of the work and the steps, I get to, when the things crop up, instead of me judging you, I get to ask God to remove it. Because the bottom line is what's going on. If I'm disturbed, there's something going on with me. I'm going to stop there and listen to what everyone else has to say, and that'll pass.
Okay. Thank you, Laura R. from Colorado, for getting us started. So let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 50 in We Agnostics, the first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Thursday or Friday, please wait until tomorrow. And I will now take the names of those who'd like to share on this paragraph.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie.
Dana
Melanie
P.
Dana P. and Melanie C. Got you both.
Mary G.
Mary G.
Cheryl A.
Cheryl A. One more.
Sherry H. M.
Sherry H. M. Okay, we'll stop there. H. M. Okay, we have Sherry Josie, Dana P., Melanie C., Mary G., Cheryl A., and Sherry H. M. Good morning, Sherry Josie. Tell us where you're from, too.
Good morning, Mo. This is Sherry Josie in California, recovered compulsive eater. So grateful to be listening live today. Over the last few weeks, I've listened to the recording just because of schedule changes and such. So I always say I love this paragraph, but I love every paragraph in the big book. I'm just so grateful to be able to honor it and study it with all of you. This section is interesting. You know, the whole chapter, We Agnostics, you know, I came into the program highly, highly skeptical of quote-unquote religion and angry at quote-unquote God, what I define God as. And, you know, the part of the big book that cracks me up that I think of as like a companion piece to this paragraph is when Bill's talking about how he, you know, he would concede certain things. Oh, he conceded that the universe was great and it had to be created somehow. He even says, you know, oh, I conceded that Jesus was a great man. I always laugh when I read that part, you know, in this section as well, because it's like, who are we to concede anything? Like, Bill was an alcoholic. He totally destroyed his own life with his own addiction. I'm a compulsive eater. Any idea that I ever had as a compulsive eater was a horrible idea. I destroyed my entire life with my compulsive eating and my willfulness, my, you know, secretiveness, hiding it from other people. But yet I'm going to sit here on my high horse as, you know, when I first came in as just a barely recovered compulsive eater and say, oh yeah, you know, I'll concede that these religious people maybe have some things that they're right about. Who am I to concede anything? Like, pretty soon, I mean, I came into the program, I thought I knew everything. Oh yeah, I'll take what I like and leave the rest. Yeah, in about a month, the disease just knocked me to my knees again. You know, and then I was a little bit more humble. Then a month later, it knocked me down again. And then, you know, around this time, 1989, April 19th, I got on my knees for the last time, knocked down by this disease, and I was surrendered. And you know what? And I said, God, you know what? Whoever you are, whatever you are, thank you for saving my life, and whatever you want me to do, I will do it. You know, and that place, I've stayed in that place, you know, and I've stayed in that place for 30 years, and I'm grateful. I am so grateful. And every time I start getting that arrogance back, like, oh, yeah, I go to my parents' house. They watch this channel that's religious preaching and singing. I used to, you know, every now and then that where arrogance comes back. I used to go to my parents' house and I'd be like, oh, God, there's that program again. They're begging for money. These people are all billionaires. You know, I go over there now and I'm like, so what? Like, what is that? I don't have the answer to the world's problems. I sit down there with my dad and I listen to the music. You know what? I filter it through my brain. There's many paths. There's not just one path to God. You know, I sit there and I listen and I like the music. I do. I tell my dad, please don't send them any money. Thank you. But, you know, I'm just so glad the arrogance, when I feel that coming up in me, I just pray to God, please, God, take it away. So thank you for letting me share. Grateful for abstinence. Grateful for all of you.
Thank you, Sherry Josie from California. We have Dana P. next, followed by Melanie C.
Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. Dana P. I am in California. Yeah, wow. This book is brilliant, divinely inspired to be certain. This whole idea about judgment and tolerance and forgiveness, for just a second here. You know, I was so intolerant of intolerance, you know, and I thought I was all that. And I thought I was so, you know, spiritual and evolved and, you know, believing in what I believed in. And what I realized is that it wasn't what the book says. I wasn't loving and tolerant. And what I found as I worked through this program, worked through the steps, read the book on a daily basis, is more and more is revealed about what God is. And it's such a beautiful thing. The love and tolerance, and on page 417 of the fourth edition, it talks about acceptance is the answer to all my problems. You know, my problems aren't out there. My problems are in here, inside of me, inside of my crazy thinking. And what I realize is just what everyone else has been saying in the meeting beforehand, too, about what I was intolerant of religious people, you know, that they would preach and preach and then they would go out and do things. And even people that were overweight, you know, I was so intolerant of that, of people that were overweight. Meanwhile, I was compulsively eating and vomiting it all up down the toilet. So I looked okay on the outside, but in my crazy head, I was crazier, probably crazier than many. And what's coming to me, and I'm in nature, I'm at my beach house today, and I'm walking through the Monarch Grove, and what's coming to me is, you know, the brilliance of God. And it's like this puzzle, this huge, beautiful puzzle. And when we separate out all the pieces into the blue and the green and the brown and the ones that don't make any sense and the border and all of that, when we separate it, we don't see the beauty of the design of the picture that will come once all those pieces are snapped together, snuggled up one against another, and we stand back and we see this beautiful picture. And if there is one piece missing, that one piece that I am intolerant of, the picture is not complete. The whole of God is not complete. So, you know, this world, the beauty of this world is every single one of us, every single one of us. And until I recognize that, my life is going to be pretty miserable. So I'm just really grateful to this program, grateful for everyone that's here on the line today, every single piece of God's beautiful puzzle. So thank you so much for allowing me to share this morning, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Dana P. Right on time. And next we have Melanie C., followed by Mary G. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Oregon. And I one to just say out loud that, of course, we all know this is so tightly connected to, laced in with the previous paragraph about the idea that, there are spiritual people that have designed a life for themselves in order to be able to live out being just human. The nature of being human, I could not even allow and accept for myself. I just wouldn't do it. And so, of course, I'm not going to allow and accept it for anybody else. I'd gotten so sick in this disease, being maltreated with food for all these years, not addressing the mental and the spiritual part of it, didn't know how, of course, that I had these layers and layers and layers of failure in my eyes, but it certainly attacked my soul and my head and my mind and my thinking, that I utilized the idea of putting down other people to be able to lift myself up. I was just convinced I would be able to rise again if I could be better. Because I sort of in my mind had people of clergy and, of course, other things kind of elevated ahead of me. The other thing that I had and I insisted upon is I wanted these things to save me as well. Not being able to understand the human element. We go to these places, we do these things externally. And I found, of course, in program, it's internally. Externally, in order to be able to cope with being human. Human has a lot of things, attached to it that was beyond my ability to allow myself to be. And over and over and over again with these kinds of failures, the ego would expand. The ego was trying, because the only thing that the ego can do, that's the only thing within its contents, its makeup to do, is to be better than. It doesn't temper well. It does not humble well. It resists it because it doesn't know how to do that. And the combination of maltreatment, i.e. using food to try to numb out, to blind out, to black out, whatever it was I wasn't able to rise upon because the human spirit wants to, and no soul sense of myself within to be able to have enough humility, then the only thing that I had to do was step on the feet of other people to try to pull them down. That's the twisted part of my thinking. It said, if you could blast these people, then you will be better. That's the best that I could do. Thank goodness the 12 steps have reordered that sort of thing, untangled that snarly mess, and surely by slowly have been able to find the power that's within. It has regulated a dysregulated mind and a broken heart. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Melanie C. from Oregon. And then we have Mary G., followed by Cheryl A. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Hi, this is Mary G. from Chicago, Illinois. We never gave a spiritual side of life a fair hearing. That's the line I have underlined. That's the line I have underlined here. Isn't that the truth for me? I'm just looking, I have the date of my very first meeting in the front of my book, and I came into these rooms in December of 2004, so 17 years of this. And, in all honesty, I finally gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing just a few months ago. To give anyone hope, it takes what it takes. It takes what it takes. I was in these rooms, in these meetings, so focused on the food and the diet and the weight loss. And it says in this book, the whole purpose of this book is to find a power higher than ourselves. I just recently heard in some sort of AA talk or something along those lines. A 12-step program, the guy was referring to AA. AA is spiritual kindergarten. This is kind of like where we get started. But the whole essence is to go further in our spirituality. The whole idea is to find a power higher than ourselves, to restore us to sanity. So I'm so grateful. I started this practice of two-way prayer, and I have to say it's really changing my life. It's my 11th step. And, I'm giving the spiritual side of life a fair hearing these days, and man, what a difference it makes. So that's all I got. I pass. I'm out.
Thank you, Mary G. from Illinois. Next, we have Cheryl A., followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hi, this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts, and I don't often come on this meeting, so I'm happy to join all of you today. I grew up just completely wired to be understanding life as I fit in relation to others. I'm an identical twin. I was compared my whole life. And until I really began to work the 12 steps, which I've been in recovery. I've been in 12 step for 33 years, but I've been in recovery for much less than that, since 2014. But I didn't understand what it meant to go to a deeper layer of myself and live from that place out. So everything was in relation to others. And when I went to college, man, oh man, I was all about dissecting spirituality. I was almost a philosophy major, and I read existentialism and all the philosophers trying to figure out if any of these people in religion really had something that made any sense at all. And it was all about my brain and my intellect and figuring it out. I never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. I just didn't even understand what that meant. It was all about using my brain. As I have gone deeper and deeper into my 11th step, I have understood that that's living on an outer layer. And if I wanted to really connect with God and heal, it's going to have to pave a path inwards and then go back out from that place with an anchor securely put into the bedrock of the innermost parts of me. Because where does it say we access God in the big book? Deep, deep down within. And because, thank you, God, I have been willing to just get up and keep showing up and keep showing up in spite of feeling like I do it imperfectly and all life events happening and all this and all the noise. But going deeper in has allowed me to go into a deeper layer enough that I can secure the anchor in the bedrock where I can access God. And now I have a pathway in and out, and that's the 11th step. There's like a road in there, but it takes showing up and showing up, giving the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. I'm not sure what my time, but I know you'll help me out there. Giving the spiritual life a fair hearing is about taking actions. It's stopping my thinking. My thinking is not the place where I give it a fair share. That's the place where I was compared my whole life, and I compared everybody else my whole life. But when I take actions in spite of my thoughts and I do the next right action and I follow the steps and the instructions, thank you. I know where the road is now, deep down within, that allows me to give this a fair shot. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to have an instruction plan today. Have a great day.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl A. from Massachusetts, and we now have Sherry H.M., and after Sherry, I'll take a new lineup. Sherry, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 50 of We Agnostics. First paragraph, top of the page, instead we looked at the human defects. So after Sherry, we'll get a new lineup. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, from Washington State. It's great to be here. I love you guys. Love the meeting. I was just thinking that it says we talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. That means that we're spending time not doing step four, which is that when we take a inventory of ourselves. And yeah, I've done that many, many times, but my problem was I couldn't solve this food problem. And I thought I knew God, but I don't think I allowed him to fully, enter this food corner of my life, which was really causing me restless, irritable, discontent over and over again. Consumed by fear, consumed by resentment, and we know resentment makes me be a refrigerator magnet. So I had $16,000 of medical bills a year from lupus and ankylosing spondylitis. And I thought, well, maybe I'll try, you know, one more food program. And my friends in Al-Anon had told me about OA. So I went, and I'm just so grateful to God that God has done for me what I can't do for myself. And you guys are such a great part of my team, and I just love you so much, and I'm so grateful for Vision, and hope everybody has a great day. Thanks, and that's all I got.
And thank you, Sherry H.M. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, that would be Thursday and Friday. If you have shared in the last 3 days, Thursday or Friday, please wait until tomorrow to share. So I will now take names of those who'd like to share on this paragraph.
Evan U.
Evan U.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Wendy M.
Who's after Deborah?
Gusty N.
Wendy M.
I have a Gusty. Yes, Gusty. And then there was somebody after Gusty. And Wendy, was that Wendy?
Wendy. Yeah, Wendy M. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I got you.
Laura K.
Laura K. Take one more. If not, we'll go with this group. Please press star 1 to mute your phone, and we'll have Evan U. So it's Evan U, Deborah G, Gusty N, Wendy M, Laura K. Good morning, Evan.
Hi, this is Evan U from California. Thank you all for your service. It's really nice to be studying this big book with all of you. You know, using this book as a foundation for living every moment of my life is incredible, and this group really helps me do that. You know, this paragraph is about, for me, judgment, you know, and it's judgment about spirituality per se, but it's amazing how much this judgment extends to sort of every spiritual idea and every spiritual notion, you know, that I hear on this line, that I hear when people are talking to me, and how much my mind rejects that and the self-satisfied knowledge. And it just struck me today. It's just like how me compulsively overeating is the natural consequence or symptom of that judgmental closed mind. You know, it's like these, you know, these steps, the meeting problems with surrender rather than how I generally meet them and how as a larger society it seems we've been taught, which is to try to solve my problems, to fix them, to muscle up. This whole notion of instead of doing that, I surrender and I get soft and I allow. That's not exactly the way that I learned to do it. And then after, you know, these, it's funny because we talk about being in action, but these first actions are so not exactly how I think of action per se. You know, I think of action like I jump into action, I hop in the car and I go, you know, the fourth step, I sit down and I write something down. But these first actions, is I, you know, Bill comes back in the 12 and 12 and says, you got to hit bottom. You got to admit your complete defeat, your total powerlessness. This is the action of surrender, which I myself am incapable of. I'm incapable of surrendering to the degree that my higher power would have me surrender. And then step two, and for me, this is like, step two is the opposite of this paragraph. Step two is I keep an open mind, and little by little, I allow something new to enter in. I open up to something larger and greater. And so in every moment of every day, I have this opportunity to keep an open mind, to stay open. And so I find this paragraph, you know, obviously in the very gross moment that Bill is in here, where his mind is clamping shut against spirituality, against religion, to be the obvious. But then, you know, this moment replays itself in my life every day, moment by moment, you know, where I have the opportunity to close my mind and decide that what I know is best and that other people are wrong. You know, and that that's part and parcel of the disease and this way of life that we're learning is the opposite of that, which is to not reinforce or fortify the mind, but to surrender all my ideas and allow something else to inform them and open me up to a new way of thinking, a new way of being. Ooh, I almost got it right there. All right, Evan Yu from California. Thank you all.
All right.
Look forward to hearing you all.
Thank you, Evan. Deborah G, followed by Gusty M. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you. Thank you so much for being of service and everyone on the phone that has made this meeting possible and all the shares that have shared so far. Thank you so much. And I was looking at something that I heard about my over-defended ego always sees, hates, and attacks in other people its own faults, the parts of myself that I struggle to acknowledge. And I've done that for years and years and years, and it would continue to create that suffering within myself over and over and over again, leading me to the food to seek some ease and comfort, something, some kind of relief from the suffering because of what I was doing within my head, within my heart, within my soul, you know, seeking something to do that. And I learned early that food was it. And I can't do that anymore. I have to do another solution, which is those beautiful, beautiful 12 steps where I was able to see that. Where I couldn't see that before going through those steps, going through all the step work that I did prior to the fourth step, so I could really honestly see the truth, which is the forest, not the trees, and also see my reality, you know, and see others' reality, and others have different reality than my reality. You know, it's, and having more of that compassion because I do the same things. Just, it's so cool to be part of a connectedness with other people all the time in a place where I'm free. You know, I feel that nearness. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. Gusty N, be followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Gusty. Press star one to unmute, Gusty.
Sorry about that. I was just talking away. this is just blabbing on without knowing you couldn't hear me. But I'm so grateful for your service. Thank you, everyone who makes this meeting possible. It has truly saved my life more than once. I'm Gusty N, and I'm calling from the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, where we honor the Massawomic as the historic occupants of this land. And I love this chapter, and I love the honesty and the humility that Bill is using here when he talks about being intolerant of folks who are religious and spiritually minded and accusing them of being intolerant. Because the truth is, we all have our stuff, you know, we're all human. And I have to say, I've been blown away in my, gosh, it's probably been 5 or 6 years in OA, almost 8 in another fellowship. And I've been blown away by how many religious professionals land in recovery that, that I've run across in this program. And it occurs to me, and it has occurred to me over and over again, how much religious professionals need us to ask them, because they need the message just as much as we do. And just because you do this, spiritual work for a living doesn't mean that you don't also need the message every day. So that's just been a real eye-opening experience in my journey through recovery, and thought I'd share that with others. So every time you ask a religious professional for spiritual advice, you're actually helping them. Who knew? In any case, that's all I have today. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Gusty N. Next, we have Wendy M., followed by Laura K., and we may have room for one or two more after Laura. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service and everyone on the line. This is one of my favorite passages because the first time I read it, it was like one of those aha moments. I was like, oh my God, that's my family. We did that. You know, and I grew up in this liberal Jewish family in Los Angeles, and we weren't intolerant of anything. But turns out we were intolerant of everything that wasn't us. And it wasn't spoken. It was implied, you know. And as an addict, I can tell you that the way I determine what prejudice is that if you're not me, if it's not about me, then I'm prejudiced towards you. And I love this program because it gives us the word like prejudice. And what that does is it frees me up. I was like, oh my God. Because when we name something, we get free. You know, for example, the word control runs throughout this book. And I love that word because it's like, oh my God, that's what I'm doing. And the minute we can name it, there's that freedom. There's that surrender. That's that knowing. And exactly the same here. I'm not intolerant of anything. I'm intolerant of everything that isn't me. You know, and they say that this book is the death of self, right? The death of ego, ego reduction. Wendy has to get out of the way so God can do God's miracles. I must get out of the way, you know, and that includes, of course, my thinking. So I just love that. And the other piece that I love here is that it's like my addiction, it needs to be fed or it will die, right? It's got to be constantly fed. And obviously the 12 steps, what does it do? Kind of unblocks us. And the ego can't survive. If I'm doing that. And I heard recently that God is everything. And if God's everything, that means there's no separation between you and me. And if there's no separation between you and me, then I can't have intolerance. I can't have prejudice. I can't have these things because God's everything. And it's a very powerful moment. And as many people have been saying, you know, this particular chapter is about setting aside everything we think we know. And the freedom in that, really, I get to let go of all my prejudices, all of my intolerances, you know, because I'm only doing it because I'm frightened. Like, I am so doubtful about myself that I must have prejudice towards you. And the other thing I want to say that I think is really important is I notice as I do my 10 steps, which is what clears these prejudices up, I do my 10 steps and I notice I demand that people be a certain way for me. I demand it. And if you disappoint me at all, I will have prejudice. I will have intolerance. It won't be okay. I won't survive it. I won't survive you disappointing me. I won't survive our differences. I have friends Fine. That aren't Jewish. Yeah. And what a beautiful thing. God is everything. Thanks for letting me share it.
And thank you, Wendy M. And next up, we'll have Laura Kay, and there may be time for one or two more shares after Laura. Good morning, Laura. Oops.
Good morning. Thank you for being of service. My name is Laura Kay, and I'm from Northern California. I absolutely love Visions for You. It's opened up a whole new world for me. I just love the big book. I love all the steps. And I am currently on step 4, and I thought, well, what's my part, you know? I found out that I'm intolerant a lot. And when things go off the trajectory of what I think they're supposed to go, I become very uneasy, very intolerant. Very judgmental. And, you know, I have always believed that there was a God. I just realized I never believed that there was a God who could help me. He has helped me in other areas of my life, but as far as my food, first of all, I never even thought of giving it over to him, of believing that. And that is such a miracle in itself, to get on my knees and just surrender is the greatest moments of my life. And I'm just so, so, so grateful. Right now, I'm from California, but right now I'm in Las Vegas, and I just met my granddaughters, who are 2 months old, for the first time. And you talk about God miracles, and I wasn't fiending for food, you know, God helped me. He helped me from there to here. And he's helping me this morning, and he's helping me to realize that I can be intolerant and just to let it go. Let God be, and to just surrender each and every day. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Laura Kay. And just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 50 in We Agnostics, the first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects. And we have time for one share or two quick shares. Who would like to share?
Phyllis R.
Phyllis R. Why don't you go ahead and take that, Phyllis?
Thank you. This is my first time sharing. I've just recently started on Vision. And I'm just listening to the shares this morning. And first of all, I have to thank each and every one of you who's shared. I know they were all from your heart, but what blew me away was the honesty and the trust that you all have to do this on this line. And I thank you very much for it. And I guess I'm going to let that be it for my first share. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Phyllis. Well, we still have time for one more 2-minute share. If somebody would like to take that.
Dorothy G.
Dorothy, you take it. You got 2 minutes.
Okay. I had the experience of the flip side. I grew up, my dad was a minister. We prayed before every meal. In fact, the prayer was, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. By his hands, we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. But over the years, I still became a compulsive overeater. And I think one of the things that has been revealed to me is that I still had the thought that God was a smaller God than he is. I didn't think that God could help me control my food, or that was God's job. I didn't have certainly the concept that I've been hearing this morning about God is everything. I'm not sure I understand exactly what that means, but I know though that it is necessary for me to have a larger concept of God. And now, you know, as I've been in this program and recovered, I get closer to that in my, you know, in working the steps and in knowing that that I can really be recovered. Both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and I am still in recovery in all three of those facets of my life. So thank you so much for letting me share. Thank you for your service, Mo, and thanks to everybody who has shared today.
Thank you, Dorothy G. You'll be our final share today. And I want to thank all those who shared today and all those who gave service and everyone on the line. We all work together. So We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read A Vision for You.
Morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you would find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.